Good morning. It's great to see everyone out today. Happy New Year. First Sunday of the year. It's just hard to believe it's 2019. And we think about, well, what changes we want to make this year, you know? And it's a good thing to think about changes and, you know, for our life to be better and things to do better. Do we have any visitors this morning with us? If you are, would you please stand so we can recognize you? Any visitors? All home folks today. In Sunday school, we had a question that says, how do I demonstrate my life is grounded in the gospel? You know, people are watching us and watching how we react to everyday things and different trials and things that come our way. And they want, one of the most important things they can see is us living out the gospel, living the truth. The world is so full of insincere Christians that don't live the life. And so they want to see some genuine believers. It's like, are we going to be one of those genuine believers that lives out the gospel? Because people watch what you're doing, whether you believe it or not. They see everything you do, and you do one little thing wrong, they're going to catch that. You know, and they think as Christians, well, we're supposed to be perfect. Well, we're not perfect. We make mistakes. We just have to say we're sorry and go on. But we're not perfect, but, you know, we need to live out the gospel and be a genuine believer. I don't have any announcements this morning. It has in your bulletin, it says, if you need a copy of your contributions for 2018, there's a sign-up sheet in the back that on the usher's table that you can sign up. And, you know, pray for our pastor. He's preaching this morning, for his strength and his guidance this morning. And we have the Lord's Supper. Let's prepare our hearts as we take the Lord's Supper this morning. And let's you know, have a good year this year. And just pray for our church. Our church will grow. And we'll be an example to the neighborhood and to the community. And Brother Brockington has an announcement. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Yesterday, we started our basketball league yesterday. And we had a real good showing with the children. And they helped support our neighborhood and our community. And we're asking you, the saints of God here at St. Paul, to come out and help support us as we look to give back to our community. And you know, I know you say it's a basketball ministry, but it's exactly that. It's a ministry. And we have an opportunity at the game to be able to minister and evangelize to others there. So we do appreciate you if you would come out and give support to the young children. It was a real good day yesterday, real exciting. Had an overtime game. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning, my brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
It's a blessing to be here. And Reverend Bingham has asked me to read scripture about the Lord's Prayer. And I feel honored because I learned so much when I studied the scripture. And it's taken from Luke 22, 1 through 22. And it's the New Living Translation Bible. Okay, verse 1. The festival of unleavened bread, which is also called Passover, was approaching. The leading priests and teachers of religious law were plotting to kill Jesus, but they were afraid of the people's reaction. Then Satan entered into Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12 disciples, and he went to the leading priests and captains of the temple guard to discuss the best way to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted, and they promised to give him money. So he agreed and began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus so they could arrest him when the crowds weren't around. Now the festival of unleavened bread arrived when the Passover lamb is sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John ahead and said, "Go and prepare the Passover meal so we can eat it. So we can eat it together. Where do you want us to prepare it?" they asked him. He replied, "As soon as you enter Jerusalem, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him. At the house he enters, says to the owner, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples?' He will take you upstairs to a large room that is already set up. That is where you should prepare our meal." They went off to the city and found everything just as Jesus had said, and they prepared the Passover meal there. Then he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. Then he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves, for I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come." He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. But here at this table, sitting among us as a friend, is the man who will betray me. For it has been determined that the Son of Man must die. But what sorrow awaits the one who betrays him." That is the conclusion, and the scripture again is Luke 22, 1 through 22, New Living Translation. Thank you.
Down the cross where my Savior died.
Good morning, family. It's prayer time again. After getting off late last night, I expected to sleep in till my alarm clock went off this morning, because God knows I'm not a morning person. But God also knows that he knows what's best for me than what I know for myself. So before my alarm clock went off this morning and I got to yarn and do all the rest of that stuff that I do when I normally wake up, the Lord touched me and got me out of bed. I'm like, okay, what now? So I go into my little dark room and I turn on my little lamp on my desk and I pick up this book right here before I do my normal morning prayer. I'm going to share with you where I was led. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend unto the hills of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Sister Judy last week said that she don't do resolutions. I was glad when she said that, because then I realized I was not the only strange person that was in this church. But one thing that I have tried my best to do, and we talked about it this morning in Sunday school, is every morning I wake up, I ask God, help me to be a better person than I was yesterday. And I'm going to make that resolution every day. Lord, just help me to be a better person than I was yesterday. Because I know there's a whole lot that needs to get fixed up here. And I know I can only do it with the help of the Lord. So it's prayer time. For anyone who wants to come to the altar, I invite you to come forward as we go to the Lord in prayer. Most righteous God, we just come before you again, God, with thanksgiving on our heart. Father, we just come thanking you for being God and God all by yourself. God, we come thanking you for being the Alpha and the Omega. We acknowledge you, God, as being the beginning and the end. We acknowledge you, God, as being the Lord and God of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, God, we just come with our uplifting hands, with our open hearts, with our sincere minds, God, asking you to come into this place right now, God, and be with us as we attempt to give you the worship and the praise that you so rightly deserve. Father, we come giving you thanks, God, for waking us up this morning, touching us with a fingertip of love, giving us the desire to already come out this morning, God. Father, we thank you that you allowed us to arrive out here safely and out of harm's way. Father, I know sometimes we take these little minute things we think for granted. But God, we know that some of anything could have happened between where we left from and when we got here. But Lord, we just thank you for your traveling mercy that you allowed us to arrive here safely. Father, we humble ourselves before you right now. And thank you for all that you've blessed us with. And we thank you, God, because we realize that everything that we have, God, that we did not earn it. There's nothing we did to deserve it. But because of your goodness and your grace and your mercy, you gave it to us, God. God, we thank you for your loving kindness, God. God, we thank you that you blessed us in spite of us, God. God, we thank you, God, that you have given us the desire and the unction, God, in order to come out to study out, to study your word, God, to show ourselves approved unto you. Father, I just ask right now that those things that so easily hampers us, that deters us from worshiping you in fullness and the truth, that that chain be broken right now today in the name of Jesus, God. Will that chain be an addiction to ourselves, God? Will that chain be an addiction to drugs, God? Will that chain be the fact that we are unemployed, God? Will that chain be the fact that we have family members who's not acting right, or we have kids that's not acting right? God, we just ask right now in the name of Jesus that that chain is broken, God, that we may bind ourselves to you, God, and realize that we are to cast all of our cares on you, God, for you cares for us. Father, we thank you for being our shepherd right now, God. For we understand, we read, God, that you are our shepherd and we shall not want, and that we are to cast all of our cares on you. So, God, we just ask right now in the name of Jesus that you supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. That in all that we do, that we acknowledge you to give you the praise and honor. God, we ask that you forgive us for our sins and our shortcomings, for there are many. And we also ask that you give us that strength to forgive those who have sinned against us. And Father, right now I lift up our wonderful pastor right now in the name of Jesus, God. Continue to heal him, lift him, build him, and continue to allow that motivational, I'm excited that's in him, come through him, God. So that those of us who see him, God, may get that inspiration to continue to work harder and to do better. Father, as he comes forth, bring forth the word, God. I ask that he hide himself behind the cross, God, that you speak to him and that you anoint him from the top of his head down to the sole of his feet, God. I just ask right now, I know we're asking a lot, God, but I know that you're also a big God. So those things that we're asking in the precious name of Jesus the Christ. And this is our prayer. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Somebody said it reaches to the highest mountain. Go ahead and sing it. The blood. It will never.
It will never.
It will never lose its power. And all the people said, amen, amen, amen. This is our sharing together of the Lord's Supper. Truly, this is the first Lord's Supper of the year of 2019. Amen. And we are truly blessed and thankful for this opportunity. I'd like to get a couple of the ministers to come and share with us. Reverend Marvin and Reverend Mucker, would you come and share with us as well? We're thankful for this privilege and this opportunity that has been presented to us to share in this Lord's Supper time. It's a very sacred and honorable time that we share We do it once a month. As I stated earlier, this is our first one for the year of 2019, and it's a blessing to be here in the year of 2019. This time, I would like for Reverend Munker to ask God's blessing upon the bread, and Reverend Malone to ask God's blessing upon the fruit of the vine.
Father God, as we come into a new year, the first Sunday of a new year, Father, we come just asking your blessings upon this bread that represents thy body. We pray, Father, that we examine ourselves and take it with a pure heart. Father, just help us, guide us, and lead us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Dear Lord, we come before you asking you to bless the juice as a reminder of your shed blood that you sacrificed so willingly on the cross. Give us clean hands and clean hearts to partake of this communion, God. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins, God. And so, God, we so much thank you for willingly sacrificing your life for ours. Bless now, as only you can. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you.
songwriter said he washed it white as snow. You know, when they were in the upper room, they were having this Lord's Supper, Jesus said to the 12, "One of you will betray me." And they all looked around and one another said, "Is it I? Is it I? Is it I? Is it me?" I mean, when you think about it, all of us in some way have betrayed Jesus Christ. When we say the wrong things or do the wrong things or have the wrong motivation, we have betrayed Jesus Christ. But thanks be to God, he gave us another chance. And because he died on that cruel cross, was buried in a borrowed tomb, but he rose the third and appointed day that we might have the right to the tree of life. Has anyone been overlooked? Has everyone been served? If we've all been served, then let us eat and drink together. Scripture says after they eat, they went out to the Mount of Olives singing a hymn. As we go to our homes and places of employment and schools, let us have a hymn in our heart. This concludes this portion of our service.
Time for our mission offering and our fellowship time. And as they're bringing the buckets over, I'd like to take a moment and elaborate a little bit on the why we do this. This is our opportunity to help our fellow church members sometimes, people in the community, but it's what it says it is. It's a mission offering. It solely goes for missions. And as a Jesus-believing community, we're all for missions and helping our fellow man and fellow woman. If you haven't partaken in this in the past, I'm asking you to do so now, this one time. It doesn't matter what you put in there. God knows what you put in. I don't know. The finance committee doesn't know. But the thing is that it is used for missions. And this is the opportunity that you have of helping someone in our community or someone that maybe you don't even know, but it's for a mission offering, just as it says. So I'm asking you to open your hearts and your minds and thank God that you are here this morning. You were able to get up. You were able to come worship a holy God, and that you're able to help other people. Our Father, thank you for all the blessings that you have given us. We thank you now for this opportunity to come and give back to you that portion of our money for missions, that we might help somebody that might be a lot less, have a lot less than what we do. Maybe they have a little less, but our Father, at least it gives us an opportunity to help someone. Thank you for this opportunity, and thank you for these gifts that are given this morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. After that will be our fellowship time, our what we call our meet and our greet. Thank you.
Oh!
offering. And you can't beat God's giving, no matter how hard you try. So let's bow our heads. Lord, I come to you right now in the name of Jesus, asking you to bless these tithes and offerings that we're about to receive. I pray they be used to uplift your kingdom. And I pray this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. in order to be able to share effectively in the work of the kingdom of God, the first thing I really believe necessary is prayer, permission, planning, and power. The message entitled today is "He's in the House." But prior to our considering and looking into his presence in the house, the first thing I want today is this message about the Lord is his preparation. Was his preparation. First of all, I won't read this text because I don't want to consume too much of your time. But let me read portions of it, which says, "And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee and was baptized by John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Get this. "And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him." The first thing I want us to understand is Jesus' preparation. He didn't get assigned a mission that was not preceded by preparation. Every person doing anything in the body of Christ, first of all, is his plan. What God has planned for you and what God has planned for me. But then preparation should precede performance. A whole lot of folk get busy in church life and in life without preparing themselves. Keep in mind, first of all, Jesus was baptized by John in the river of Jordan. Secondly, he was driven, as it were, by the Holy Spirit for temptation in the wilderness. If you're a child of God, you're going to be tempted. But you need to be prepared for that temptation. Pray up. Recognize that there's an enemy out there that wants to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what happened to Jesus for 40 days in the wilderness. No food, no company. Only being tempted by the enemy who's out to kill, steal, and destroy you and me. Following the baptism, following the temptation, he begins his journey in ministry. First of all, there was some preaching as he made his way throughout the communities all around before he comes to a pulpit. Secondly, was his picking of disciples. He recognized that he needed some help, and he went about choosing this person, this person, this person, this person. Be on mission with me to accomplish the things that are to be accomplished. What I want all of us to understand is we need somebody to help us. I met with deacons on yesterday, and I tried to say to them how important their positions are. I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher. I can't do all of this stuff that has to be done. Amen. But I realized, I helped them realize those are your assignments, but there are assignments for everybody that's in the body of Christ. Aren't you glad when the choir sing? Aren't you glad when these mission projects are carried out? Aren't you glad when every part of the body of Christ find their responsibilities and follow the Lord Jesus Christ to do the things that he has appointed them to do? We don't need to think that preacher ought to preach, choirs ought to sing. You know what I'm trying to do. Offerings ought to take the money, and I'll sit there and enjoy it. Everybody, like the song says, a charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, who gave his son my soul to save and fitted for the sky. That's what's wrong with the church right now. A lot of folk will come to the building, but they won't take care of business. I'm trying to tell you, this is what Jesus had to do, picking his disciples. Then you find him teaching in the synagogue. It's in chapter 1, 9 throughout the portion of that text, teaching in the synagogue. And everybody was astonished at his wisdom. But keep in mind, there was preparation before presentation. Understand that. Anybody awake? Don't be nodding on me today, okay? And then he went about healing the sick. People that were unable to care for themselves. He went about doing that. I think that I was thinking yesterday that I was calling sick people. And thank God I was able to see some of them here today. Somebody called this morning whose son had passed away and wondering if we can, and Mike, they told me that he was a friend of yours, and I would get that information to you. Not only was he doing that, and then there was a man with an unclean spirit. He dealt with that person and removed the unclean spirit from this person. I'm talking about Jesus on mission. He ain't in the pulpit yet. You understand what I'm trying to say? Serving. And what I'm really trying to say, all of us have a servant responsibility. God didn't save us to sit, sing, or shout necessarily. You know what I'm trying to say, but we have a charge to keep. And then he went into Simon Peter's wife's mother, who was sick, laid hands on her, and she was recovered and went and fixed a meal. God is amazing God. Then there was a father, before he moved to the next assignment, he spent time, you find that in verses 35 and 70, he spent time in prayer before moving from the next assignment. And then we find his performance. And what we want to talk about right now, I want to read this text, because it has not been read today. It says in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, and again into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him bringing a sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where the man was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes that were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were so reasoning with themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things? Which is easy in your heart? Which is easier to say? To the sick of the palsy, thy sin be forgiven thee, or say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto you, arise, take up your bed, and go your way into the house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were saying, we never saw it on this fashion. We ain't never seen nothing like this. He's an awesome God. He's an awesome Savior. Now, we now see, okay? We now see and understand why, and it was noise that he was in the house. After all that was done, no wonder they were in the house, because he saw them out there, and now they're in the house. He blessed them out there, and now they're in the house. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about or not, okay? He didn't wait for somebody to come to the house. He went where they were, shared the good news and the gospel to them where they were, healed them, blessed them, taught them, did all of that. And when they found out that he was in the house, it filled up. That's how you fill the house up. I don't know if you hear what I'm saying or not. If you do something from out there, somebody out there, somebody out there, somebody out there, somebody out there, that's what gets folk in the church. I'm not talking about in the building. I'm talking about getting the church. Can I get a witness in God's house today? Somebody ought to say amen. I think y'all ought to be glad to hear what I'm saying today, because he's in the house. I just had it on my mind all during the Christmas season, all right, about him being in the house. I'm glad he's in the house today. I'm glad I'm in the house. Now we understand why it was noise about. They was in the house. And when they got in there, Jesus preached the word unto the house in the full house. Four men came to the house bringing a lame man on a stretcher. They had decided to get the man to Jesus. Four people, we don't know. They were disappointed that they couldn't get through the door. Now here they are having a concern for somebody that they knew needed Jesus. Jesus was not there then, he was in the house. And so they were determined, so they put him on a stretcher. Four men, four deacons. I just said that. But four men, four concerned men who knew if I could just get him to Jesus. You ought to think about this. You ought to think about somebody that need to come to Jesus. Ought to come get together with somebody and put a plan together to try to get him to Jesus. Even though it's a sacrifice, they had to put them, I don't know how big he was, it might have been a big old heavy guy, I don't know, but it took four. But they were determined they're going to get this man to Jesus. It's so important because he has no hope out here. The people have been getting help. They're already in there now, praising God. House is full. And here's one more left out. And we are late getting there. We weren't on time to get him there, but we got to get him there. It may be hard to do, but we're going to do whatever we can to get him there. Would you do whatever you can to try to get him to Jesus? You understand what I mean? Don't just say, he's a good God, he's a great God. What do you do to try to get him to Jesus? Can I get a witness? Because he's on his way to hell if he don't get to Jesus. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Anybody in this world that don't get to Jesus, they ain't going to heaven, they're going to hell. And you ought to care enough about him to do whatever you can to try to get him to Jesus. It's a hard sacrifice sometimes. So I don't know how far they had to carry him, but they were determined to get him to Jesus. Because can't nobody do me like Jesus. Amen. Well, they tried. They were determined to get him to Jesus. And they couldn't get him in the door. They couldn't figure out another way to get him there. But they decided, I know, we're going to get him. So they climbed up on the roof with the man in the stretcher. You talking about determination? They wasn't playing no game. They weren't just saying some nice words. They were determined to get him to Jesus. Are you determined to help get somebody to Jesus? It's a sacrifice. You understand? Everybody ain't going to come to Jesus because you tell them. You understand what I'm trying to say? And when you find them all messed up, whatever that condition it may be, I don't know how to describe it. I don't know what that condition actually was, but he couldn't walk because he was messed up. There's a whole lot of folk out there messed up. They don't have the ability to get where they need to go. I know I'm right about that. There are sick folk that won't go to a doctor and end up dying. It ought to be our determination to try to get somebody to Jesus. So they were wise and determined. Let me tell you what happened when determination is. They could hear Jesus in their preaching. And they didn't knock a hole in the wall back in the back door. They knocked a hole in the wall, in the roof, right in front of Jesus. I mean, and Jesus had a trash tumbling down on him while you've seen. And then he says to the sick of the palsy, I say unto you, arise and take up your bed and walk and go your way into your house. You know what happened? And immediately the man arose, took up his bed and went before him all, walking around with everybody seeing him. I've been on this stretcher all this time, and I'm walking around with my own 2 feet. I don't have to have no stick, no crutches, no stretcher, but I'm walking. And I know I could just almost imagine hearing him as he walked along. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I'm his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I ain't talking about the man right now, but he walks with me. I get down sometime, but you see him up. And I'm trying to tell you, he walks with me, and he talks with me, and I talk back to him. I tell him all of my troubles. I tell him all of my problems. I tell him all of my situations in my life. I tell him about my joys. I tell him about my troubles. I tell him about how much I love him and how glad I am to serve him and how glad I am to stand here today and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Give him some glory and some praise in God's house. I don't know how you feel about it, but I tell you, I'm glad he's in the house. You know one more thing? You know how I got in the house? Lord have mercy. Because he picked me up, turned me around, placed my feet on heavenly ground. Father, we thank you so much. Thank you so much for being in the house. Make sure you share the word that he's in the house. It's invitation time in God's house. Stand and sing together. If you're without Christ, he can do for you what he's done for others. Invitation time in the house of God. Don't miss an opportunity. Father, I pray that there be anyone here today without a relationship with you. Anybody ever need to come to this altar? Put your faith and your confidence in him. Instruments come into play. Our Father in heaven, should there be anyone here today just need a closer walk with you, maybe they're already saved, but just need some help from you, I pray that you will touch the hearts of any such person in this building to come to these who are standing here to pray with them, encourage them, or help them. Will you come? Spirit of God has spoken to you. Would you come? Don't put off today for tomorrow. We invite you to come to these councils. Don't be ashamed, don't be afraid. Anybody? Anybody else come today? Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Just now. Just now. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this day that you have blessed us with. We thank you for all who have gathered to worship and to praise your holy name, to listen and share the good news through song, prayers that are prayed, the communion that was served, reminding us of your broken body and shed blood. Lord, we came into this place today to worship and to praise your holy name. And I'm so thankful, dear Heavenly Father, that you afforded me this opportunity to remind us that he's in the house. I'm so glad that those of who are here today in the house are aware that he is in the house. I pray for those who have strong desires to be present with us today, but are unable to do so because of the illness of loved ones and other problems of setback. But I pray, God, that you'll bless them where they are. Help them to know that they have not been forgotten, because you are the one who goes about blessing people wherever they may be. And now may the grace of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us henceforth, now and forever, and even until we meet again. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.